Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Joining me today on the Stone Chapel is Dr. Michael Mantell. He is the author of a new book entitled Thirsting for Living Water, Finding Adventure and Purpose in God's Redemption Story. He's also the president of Living Water International, president and CEO, I guess I should say, of Living Water International. Michael, good to see you.
Thanks, David. It's a delight to be here with you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed spending some time with you. And what's your impressions of the Lanier Library now that you've seen it a little bit?
You know, it's a blending of a creative act and a set of service to the church, to people that want to, you know, discover God's word and all of its forms and the rich traditions. I'm blown away by the beauty and the peace of the place. And there's a lot of people here that come and take advantage of the resources.
We were, during COVID, we were the only library that was open. We were only closed 6 weeks at the very beginning in March. In the city of Houston, I should say.
Wow.
In the city of Houston, only library. And we had particular rules about how people had to come in and wear masks and stay away from each other. And one person to a table. I think our maximum was about 25, because we have 25 tables roughly around. But it's been a delight to have all these wonderful patrons through the years. Thousands of people have been patrons of the library and have taken advantage of it since its founding in 2010.
Well, it's an unbelievable gift to the community and to scholarship. So thank you for what you're doing here.
Oh, I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm just thrilled to do that. Let's start off with the signature question at the very beginning, which is, who is Mike Mantell?
I am married to Natalie Mantell for 37 years. We have four beautiful daughters that we raised, two granddaughters. I've been down here in Houston, Texas for the last 13 years, leading the teams at Living Water International.
Yep.
I love serving through this organization.
Now, you have been CEO of Living Water for how many years did you say? 13?
13. Well, the first year or so, was kicking the tires, and they were kicking my tires, but for about 12 years.
Now, before that, you were with World Vision.
World Vision up in Chicago. I thought I was just going to volunteer about 10% of my work life to kingdom work. Mm-hmm. The idea was 3 years at World Vision, and it got away from me, so I spent 17 years up in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're here for the weather, I take it. Not the summer weather.
Winter weather's beautiful here.
Yeah. Well, you've written a terrific book called Thirsting for Living Water, and I want to tell a little bit of the story of behind that book and to get you to talk a little bit about the work of Living Water International, what you guys are doing and accomplishing now for the kingdom in 18 different countries around the world. But tell us, what's kind of the big idea behind your book?
Well, I start out with a visit when I was a young man to Senegal, and I wasn't expecting to discover that God is the master strategist, that he's alive and well, that he's got plans for our lives. And I discovered him in the middle of a desert in Senegal. And then the next 30 years were one terrific adventure after the next in inner city Chicago and business around the world. But this book really came about because initially I wanted to just catch people up on what Living Water International does, that it's more than drilling water wells, but it's really in service of the church, sharing God's love in word and deed. When my team asked me to write this book, it was in 2017, and we were having a difficult time.
Is this your first book?
First book,
okay.
Yeah.
Writing books is not as easy as it seems.
You know, I tried a dissertation, I tried some articles, some videos, but I had no idea what went into writing a book.
Yeah. I think it's beautifully written, and
hopefully
you got a little help a little along the way.
I got a little help. Yeah. You know, my wife, of course, reads all the things that I write, and she makes them write.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these...
You need somebody like that in your life.
a lot of these stories certainly are my own, but they're also stories of loved ones that I've encountered along the way, either in the United States or around the world. When I started writing the book, it was 2017, and I call it my dark night of the soul because it was a difficult time. You know, my dad had just passed. My dear wife was diagnosed with cancer. The economics at Living Water weren't working that great with the crash of oil back, you know, from 146.
Or whatever it was, yeah.
The oil crash was 2017.
Oh, so was
that
it?
Same
oh, okay.
year.
Okay,
The real estate crash was when I first got here.
So Living Water started here in Houston.
Yes.
And it's been funded in a large manner by oil and gas money, I guess, right?
A big percentage, because we grew up here, you know, so people in the oil and gas industry or those related to it, churches, of course, and over the years, more and more people have supported us, but we raise our resources from individuals and churches, and over the years, we've completed 21,000 water projects. 7 million people have access to water today because of the generosity of donors.
I heard one time, and maybe tell me if it's true or not, that every 15 seconds in the world, a child dies because he or she did not have access to clean water. Is that still true, or was that true then, true now?
It's true. Yeah. One in nine people don't have access to clean water. 840,000 people die every year just from diarrhea.
And that's waterborne illness, right?
Waterborne illness, plus other waterborne diseases.
Well, we're so used to, I get the conveniences of turning on the tap and clean water coming out and sanitation is taken care of, you know, our garbage is taken away.
We don't even think about it.
No. It's just part of it, but a lot of people don't live with those conveniences. I mean, much of the world lives with lacking food and water and just cleanliness.
Well, you think about the numbers. You know, 785 million people just don't have access to safe water. They're drinking dirty water, contaminated water. Mm. And even to get that water takes hours a day walking.
Walking down to the river.
To the river.
Yeah.
Filling up a jerry can, a big old gas can, putting them on back on your head and coming home again. And I remember
that's also something that women in particular, isn't that their job more so than men in much of the world?
Women and children. They spend many hours of their week just hauling water. And all that time could be reinvested in their families, in their farms, in micro-business. We call it a multiplier effect. You know, if you have water, kids are healthy, women have more time, educated kids are in school. The longer kids could stay in school, the better opportunities they have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a.
So you've been doing that and really working together, pulling churches into that project, working with nationals in each of these countries. That's really vital and strategic.
Yeah, every one of our offices in the 18 countries are led by and staffed by people from that country, or at least from that region. And so, you know, the West Africans run all the countries in West Africa, as do the Haitians in Haiti. And, you know, so we in the United States are a part of a very diverse and high capacity organization. But it's a global organization at this point.
So who is the book for exactly? When you think about writing this book, who do you hope picks it up, reads it?
My hope is that anyone who's feeling the burden, feeling a little heaviness, especially now in this time of COVID and some of the disruptions, you know, domestically and internationally, will pick it up and, you know, they'll get engaged in my story and the story of Living Water. But my hope is that as they get to the end of each chapter, they'll pause and reflect on the stories of God's faithfulness in their own lives. As they think through their families, they think through the Gospels, they think through their communities. And so my hope is people discover God's faithfulness and they begin to feel an invitation into God's big story. So this is all about stories of adventure and purpose in God's redemption story.
Each chapter ends with three items. One is reflect, one is write, and one is share. Tell us about those three things.
When we were drafting the book, and I say we because my wife edited everything, like I mentioned before. Yeah. But when we were writing the book, it occurred to us that people really care about their own stories. And God is writing a story in each of our lives. So the book is framed in three sections. You know, the first is, we call it Jerusalem, you know, based on Acts 1:8. The second is Judea and Samaria. And the third section is the uttermost parts of the world. And so the first third, you follow my descent in the dark night, and you're wondering about how God's going to intervene in this poor guy's life. Mm. The second section really is a look back through my own eyes and my own life, looking at, you know, God's presence in my family, how I've seen God's presence in cities, how I see God's presence within communities, and then across the world. And the third section really moves into God's big story, how he's moving the church globally, domestically, and across geographies. Mm. And so at the end of each one of these chapters within these three sections, it's an opportunity for someone to pause and think about their own challenges, their own opportunities, how God's been present. And my hope is that once they get to the end of these 12 reflections, they'll have enough bullet point notes to maybe draft their own 2-3-4 page story and send it to me, because I want to put it on our website.
Send it and go publish it then, right? If with their permission, I guess.
With their permission, you know. Yeah. We have a website just called Thirsting for Living Water.
Nice.
And we're telling people's stories as they discover their stories. Mm. We want to create a conversation of hope. You know, God is alive and well. He's actively engaged in our lives, but we don't talk about these stories. We talk about our challenges most of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So I hope that more and more people will discover God's stories and tell each other. So my hope is that the book will allow people to discover those stories.
Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier about how almost everybody we know that's been a Christian for a while will at some point experience that dark night of the soul. I mean, it's inevitable, right? Because of the suffering that comes in this world.
Every one of us. And even our conversations today, David, were deeply moving when, you know, we just shared our own lives and the challenges we all experience. And not just us as individuals and friends, but, you know, open up our Bibles. Every biblical character, hero of the Bible, every one of them experienced their dark night of the soul. They're crying to God, "Where are you, God? Come and intervene in my life." And once you see that the heroes of the Bible have the same dark nights we experience, that itself is hopeful.
So much of the Psalms is written against the background of lament. There's even a book called Lamentations, you know. Yes. And it strikes me that God is always inviting us to bring to him those sufferings and those complaints and voice those, because they need to be voiced, don't they?
They need to be voiced. And
we sit on this stuff sometimes and just it boils within us, but then we get a chance to tell it.
When we tell it, we can begin to see glimmers of hope because God works in our lives over time. And, you know, just think about the multi-generations that God has used to move his kingdom forward incrementally. Mm. You know, as we walk through the Old Testament, walk through the New Testament, church history, how much time has God invested in moving his redemptive purposes forward? And sometimes when we get stuck in our 6 months or 2 years or 5 years, we lose sight. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Right. So many of the Psalms invite us to just remember the God's faithfulness. And earlier we were talking about how just coming to a moment of true remembrance, which is not just cognitively being aware of something that happened in the past, but it really does change the moment, the present moment. And then we change the future moment.
You know, what brought me up out of my dark night was just not having an answer. I got up early one day. And I just was staring at my Bible. And we had a theme for an upcoming fundraiser, you know, from Acts 1:8, which is the Great Commission story, you know. And I just thought I'd just read the theme from the gale. I opened up the Bible, and It's the story said, and Jesus said to them, wait, I will give you my Holy Spirit that will give you the power to be my witnesses here across town and around the world. And I read that. I've read that 100 times. Mm. You know about what struck me?
What's that?
It was 40 days from the time that Jesus had died and he was in that upper room and he told his fear-filled disciples to wait and that he would send his Holy Spirit. Mm. I counted the days since Hurricane Harvey, because what capped off my dark night was Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah.
I counted the days from Hurricane Harvey to that morning of prayer. It was 40 days. Now, that's, of course, coincidence, right?
Well,
that's coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. No providence at work here.
But that old story, that ancient story, along with that apparent coincidence, stopped me and had me think, well, maybe God sees me. Maybe he is listening to me. Maybe he will respond. And so that story, it was a story in a book that had me rediscover a relational story. It opened my eyes to what was always there. And I was able to go, all right, God, but then what are we going to do? Because we're in a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and gosh. And those were, that was a challenging year at that time, wasn't it, for so many?
For so
not
many.
Only the financial, but and now the challenge of COVID has been with us now, what, a year and a half or maybe more, to that effect. For those who would like to know more about Living Water and you, how can they do that?
There's just think about thirstingforlivingwater.com. Thirsting for Living Water. That'll bring the reader to my website. There's links to Living Water International. You could also just go water.cc. Water.cc.
That's a pretty great URL right there. Water.cc. And what are they going to find there exactly?
What they'll find at water.cc is an invitation to discover what God is doing through churches around the world, specifically helping people solve the water problem and experiencing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of stories, videos, there's educational facts, there's opportunities to sign up and experience 1 week trips as soon as COVID lightens up.
But well, that's one of my goals in life, my bucket list. I shouldn't talk about it probably, but to make one of those trips and to see the joy that comes from bringing fresh, clean water up from below the ground and making it available to people.
It's a life changer.
Yeah.
I think I can trace back everybody that I know who's passionate about other people, can trace it back to a trip outside of their comfort zone, across economics, across culture, across geography. I can't wait, David, for you to go on a trip with me.
Let's go. Let's figure out a way to make that
we
happen.
We can do that.
In the next year. Let's do that. So water.cc.
Water.cc.
Or in Thirsting for Living Water.
Thirsting for Living Water.
Thirstingforlivingwater.org.
Yep, you can go on Amazon.com and buy this book.
That's right, you can. It's published by InterVarsity Press. The title is Thirsting for Living Water, Finding God's Adventure and Purpose in God's Redemption Story. By Michael Mantell. Michael, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, David.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.